Have you ever had, not to change the subject, but have you ever had a misunderstanding? I mean, it's amazing what a misunderstanding will do. When you misunderstand directions, what happens? You get lost. You end up someplace that you never meant to be, and usually someplace that you're not familiar with. Or you put something together the wrong way because you misunderstand the instructions and you're saying, I don't think it's supposed to look like this. Or I don't think it looks like this. I know when I was first putting in setting sleeves and I thought I knew better than the instructions and kind of got ahead of them. And boy, that was an interesting sleeve. Or maybe because you misunderstand, you break something that you're trying to fix. That's what happens with misunderstandings. And if you misunderstand the application to something, you misapply. And so you don't get any benefit out of that object because you've misunderstood and therefore you've misapplied. When we were living in England, we lived in London, of course, and they say that the water has been through 8 other people before it gets to you. That's the truth. That's how many times it's refurbished and reused. So what you want in your house is you want a water filter. So one of the first things we did is we went out and we bought a water filter and you pour the water in and Brian would say, you know what? It doesn't taste any different to me. And I'm drinking it going, oh, it totally tastes different to me. I don't know what you're doing or what you're thinking or, you know, you don't have taste buds. I've got them. And then I realized that I had been doing it the wrong way the whole time. And somebody said, is that how you're doing it? And I said, yes. They said, that's not how you do it. This is how you do it and use it. And I went, oh, yes, right. And I remember doing it the right way. And for the first time in my life, I thought, this water does taste different. And now I know the taste it's supposed to have. I remember moving to England and some English, very English people came over. And one of the first things they said is, may we have some tea? And I was like, tea, sure. And I did it the American way. And they just looked at me aghast, like, oh. You know, because I, you know, boiled my water in a pan. Oh, no, no, no. You know, I just kind of stuck the tea bag in. Poured it into the cups from the pan, and they were just like, Cheryl. So they bought me an electric kettle, right? So an electric kettle, you plug it in, you fill it with water, you plug it into the wall, and it heats the water up. Well, I thought you put the tea bags into the electric kettle. Oh, my goodness, was I a curse to the English people when I first came. And so a woman said, Cheryl, I'm going to come over and I'm going to teach you how to make a proper pot of tea. And she did. She walked me through the entire process of making a proper pot of tea. And I want you to know, now I do make a proper pot of tea. But it took her giving me an understanding and walking me through the process. Because before that, I misapplied the tea bag and other things. But a misunderstanding among friends, oh my goodness, that can cause hurt and frustration, anger, separation. When we misunderstand emotions, feelings, words, or intents. I remember years ago, our littlest son had done something very, very naughty. But my daughter saw my expression, and being a teenager, took it personally. And I remember I'm trying to deal with my son and I'm talking to my husband. I'm really upset. And she came into the room and she said, what are you mad at me now for? It was like, this is not about you. Life is not always about you. You know, and then it was about her. But for the first part, you know, that misunderstanding that can just flare up anger and all sorts of emotions because there's a misunderstanding. Just a few weeks ago, I was going through my purse and I found this envelope with a name on it. And I thought, how did I pick up this person's envelope? And I felt like a kleptomaniac. I don't know how it got in my purse. I felt terrible. So I took that envelope out and I gave it to one of the pastors. I said, I don't know, and I could tell I had money in it. I don't know how this got in my purse, but I am not guilty. Will you put it in the church office in the appropriate box? And he said, yes, and he took the envelope. I got in the car with Brian. We were going out to Murrieta. He said, oh, by the way, I put an envelope with money in your purse, and we're to give it to one of the young men out at Murrieta. I said, Brian, I don't have that envelope. He said, yeah, you do. It's in your purse. You just don't know it because I put it in. I said, no, you don't understand. I took it out in church and thought, what is this doing here? When I was looking for my Bible, and I thought, what am I doing with this young man's envelope in my purse? I took it out. I gave it to David Manny and said, please put this in the appropriate place and forgive me, and you never heard about this. And he said, oh, no. But you know that misunderstanding? I mean, why couldn't he say, I put an envelope in your purse when he put it in? Why do men do things like that? Don't they know that our purses are sacrosanct? Nobody is supposed to be in our purse. Years ago, my daughter Kelsey, she was 3 years old, and she was going through my purse. And I said, Kelsey, get out of my purse. She started laughing. That's the type of child she was. She started laughing and she said, oh, Mommy, I'm not in your purse. Just my hands are. But understanding is critical to our well-being in the Word of God. We need to understand the Word of God so that we can grow, so we can have spiritual victory, so that the principles that are here will work. You know, sometimes people say it didn't work for me, speaking of the Word of God. And you know why? It's because they didn't understand it. And because they didn't understand it, they misapplied and it didn't work. There needs to be an understanding. It's not enough just to hear the Word, as James said. Do not just be a hearer of the Word. We need to be a doer of the Word, but to be a doer, we must understand the Word of God and know what we're supposed to do. So we need to understand, not just hear. Ezra realized that. Nehemiah realized it, that the people needed more than to just hear the Word of God. They needed to understand the Word of God. The Word of God had been with them. It had always been resident in Israel. But because they hadn't understood the Word, they had fallen into sin. Because they hadn't understood the Word, they had never realized the importance of the Word, the essentiality of the Word, because they never understood it. 53 times in the book of Proverbs, Solomon speaks of the importance of understanding. In Proverbs 4, verse 5, Proverbs 4, verse 7, Solomon says, get understanding. At one point, he says, get understanding. It's the principal thing. Because until you have the understanding of the Word of God, it is not going to accomplish what God desires to do in you. In Matthew 13, in Mark chapter 4, and again in Luke, we have the parable of the sower. And we're told that the seed is the Word of God. And we're told of four different soils on which the Word of God went. The first soil was on the wayside. And we're told that the birds of the air, they came and they swallowed it up. The second soil was among rocks. And we're told that it sprung up, but when the sun came out, it withered. The third soil was among weeds, and the weeds choked it out. And the fourth soil was on well-prepared ground. And when the disciples asked for more understanding about this parable, Jesus said, the seed is the Word of God, and the soil is the heart. You see, when the Word of God falls on the wayside, the enemy takes it right away. When it falls on the rocky soil, he said, these are the people that hear it. They embrace it, but they don't understand. And when trials or persecution come, the Word of God that has been planted, it withers and it's not sustained. He said the third soil are those that have the word, understand for a time, but the cares of this life, the desire for other things, the deceitfulness of riches come, and they choke out the word, so they become unfruitful. But the seed that falls on the prepared ground, that represents those who hear the word and they understand it. And because they hear it and they understand it, it bears fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. Oh, the importance of understanding. You see, without understanding, there cannot be salvation. There cannot be sincere worship. There cannot be clear communication and comfort. There cannot be a hunger for God's word without understanding. There can be no joy, no obedience, and no spiritual success. In this chapter, chapter 8, we have 6 references to understanding. In verses 2 and 3, we're told that all that could understand came into this open square. Those who could understand. In verse 7, we're told that the Levites helped the people to understand the law. In verse 8, they helped them to understand the reading. In verse 12, we're told that they rejoiced greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. And finally, in verse 13, we're told, in order to understand the law. The occasion that was taking place in Ezra 8 was just for the purpose of the people to understand the law. They were to meet at the open square in front of the water gate. And Ezra stood on a wooden platform that was built just for this occasion. They wanted the people to understand and to hear the word of God. So men and women and all those who could understand, perhaps children who were at an age of understanding, gathered in this open square. When I was a little girl, I wanted to take communion more than anything. Oh my goodness, grape juice and crackers in church? Oh my goodness. In those days, when I was a little girl, I had to come to every service that my dad did. We didn't have Sunday school at the night services when we first came to Costa Mesa, and I was 5 years old. And I remember when they would have communion, and my mom would take the plate, and she'd shake her head no, and it would go beyond me. And here would come the grape juice. My mom would shake her head no, and it would go beyond me. And I so wanted communion. And I remember she'd say, "Why do you want communion?" And I'd say, "Grape juice and crackers." And she'd say, "You're not ready for it. You're not ready for it." And one day she said, "Why do you want communion?" And I said, "Because I want to be a partaker of Jesus Christ. Because I know that that cracker represents his body that was crucified for me. And I know that that grape juice means I'm forgiven of my sins." And she said, "Tonight, look at me. I still remember, tonight is the night." And I remember the ushers came and they started to pass it past me. My mom shook her head and she took the tray with the cracker and she put it right in front of me. And the smile was beatific on her face. And I took the cracker and I smiled back at her because I knew what I was doing. I knew I was 7 years old, had to wait 2 years. I knew what I was doing. And when the juice came by, I knew what I was doing. And again, this time the usher got down low and he put it in front of me. He was smiling. Mom was smiling. It was such an occasion for me that even now, at just weeks away from 50, I still remember my first communion because I had understanding. Because I had understanding. And so those were brought together that had understanding. Ezra opened the book, and the people stood up out of respect, out of expectation. Now, when he opened the book, and when we talk about the book of the law, we're not talking just about rules and regulations that Moses passed down. We're talking about everything from Genesis to Deuteronomy, or as my little one used to say, to do no wrong to me. We're talking about those first five books. And it not only included the laws of God, but it included the work of God. It was creation and the glory of creation and what God had done. It included the judgment of God, the flood, the Tower of Babel. It included the salvation of God as God made preparations for Noah and saved Noah and his family from the flood. It included the call of God as God called Abraham and began a process of sanctification. It included the work of faith that we see in Abraham. It included the promises of God and the faithfulness of God. It included the story of the Exodus, the deliverance of God, the power of God, and also, yes, the law of God. We're told that Ezra read distinctly from the law. There were specific portions that he read and then explained. He read a certain amount and a certain place. We're told that Ezra gave the sense. In other words, he gave the background, the context, the meaning. Ezra was a scribe and a priest. He studied the word of God. As it says in Ezra 7:10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. And so the people stood as the book was open. They remained in their places. They listened and they were helped by the Levites to understand as the book was read. The people worshiped as they heard the words. The people wept as they understood. And Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, and the Levites spoke to them and said, that's not the proper response. You need to understand what the proper response to the word of God is. It is to be joy and rejoicing. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, they needed clear directives that they might respond rightly. In other words, they needed to understand so they could respond, so that they could respond in the way that they were supposed to, so that they could go their way, so they could eat the fat, so they could drink the sweet, so they could send portions to those who had nothing prepared, so that they would not sorrow, so that they could realize that the joy of the Lord was their strength. You see, God was calling for a feast, not a famine. His word was liberating, not limiting. His word was convicting, not condemning. His word was meant to bring joy and not judgment to those who understood it. But you see, without the understanding of the word, it is just the opposite. When we don't understand the word, it is a drudgery and not a delight. A lot of people feel haughty when they read the word instead of humbled because they don't understand it. They feel limited and not liberated. They feel condemned and not convicted. Understanding is so important. We're told that the heads of the fathers returned the next day. They wanted more of the word. They wanted more understanding. They wanted to know how to keep the law and what was written therein. And so they read about the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Sukkoth. And they received the instructions from the law of Moses as presented in Leviticus 23, 39 through 41, as it was clearly explained to them. And then the leaders were able to instruct the people because they understood. And once they understood, they were able to communicate that so that the people could go to the mountains, collect different branches to make booths, and have a time of commemoration of God's provision, of God's protection, God's deliverance through the wilderness and from Egypt. It was a living illustration, these booths that they made. For what purpose? To give greater understanding of what their fathers had experienced and what God had done for them. I taught Sunday school, and one of the things I would do in Sunday school, because for me, the whole purpose of Sunday school was to impart understanding of these awesome truths to children. It is one of the most thrilling things I've ever done with my life, is to teach children. And one of the things I would do is we would act it out. You know, and I would read them the story and say, all right, now, do you know your part? We're going to act it out. And as we would act it out, I remember one of the kids, now, why am I doing this again? You're like, okay, this is why. You're Joseph. And they would act it out. And you know what? When they acted it out, they got it. You've all heard this story about the little boy. It was in Guidepost, 40 years ago? Still remember, about the time I took communion. The story of the little boy who was to play the innkeeper in the play. And when the Mary and Joseph came to him, and he was supposed to say, there is no room in the inn, he didn't do his part well. Because he took compassion, and all of a sudden he began to feel like the innkeeper and said, I'll find a place for you somehow. And the lady reading the lines was going, no, no. And he said, come with me. And he walked him right off the stage. There was something that comes with understanding as they did this Feast of Booths, as the children put together these different makeshift. Can you imagine as a kid how this would probably be your favorite holiday? Mom and Dad forced to make a fort with me and go camping. You know, forced to stay in the playhouse I make. I mean, what could be better as they put these different types of branches together? And as they looked at the different types of branches, they would see the Lord's beauty, the Lord's creativity, because they were supposed to have beautiful trees. Beautiful trees. They were supposed to have fruitful trees. They were supposed to have leafy trees. And they were to have palm branches. And you would see the variety of creation and the glory of God, and you would realize that God had given this to us. As they would be in their booths, they would look up and they would see the stars that God created. And they would realize how God is so big and so vast, and how he saw them through the vastness of the universe, and he took care of them. He was watching them, and he was sustaining them. And they would fall back on the faithfulness of God in the past and know he would be faithful in the present. It would give them a deeper understanding. So we're told that the people obeyed. They gathered the branches. They set up the booths. They put these makeshift shacks that they made on rooftops and courtyards and open squares at the water gate and at the gate of Ephraim. And they began an 8-day camp out with their children, in which each day the Exodus and what happened during the Exodus from the plagues in Egypt was read aloud to them, and they were then discussed at night among the campers. What an incredible thing. We're told that they kept this feast according to that prescribed manner, and that there was great gladness. It is so important to understand. The word understanding in the Old Testament is the word binah. And it means, binah. It means to perceive. Binah was the word I had to use yesterday that means made. That was yesterday's Bible study on Eve. Today is a Bible study on Nehemiah chapter 8. I know who I am. I know where I am. I understand. B-E-N-E is the pronunciation, but it means to perceive, to discern, to comprehend, or to grasp, to really take it in and have full comprehension. This is so important because, first of all, it's important to salvation. Because if you don't know what you're doing when you pray, if you don't know what it means, you're not going to be saved. You have to understand the work of Christ. And you have to ask him to take possession of your heart and your mind and your soul and to forgive you of your sins. You know, I've been at altar calls. I've been at all types of altar calls growing up in the church where, you know, times there people are going, now what am I up here for? I remember being at a Saturday night concert, and it was one of those altar calls where they were just, you know, look, if you're wearing pink, come forward. If you're wearing blue, come forward. That's you. And I remember, that's an exaggeration, of course, but I remember that there was this guy that Brian had been witnessing to. And we had been sharing the Lord with him, both of us. And he had come that night. And we wanted him to get saved. But he stood up, because people were clapping as people would come forward, you know. He stood up, raised his hands, and began to bow to the crowd, you know, as he walked down the aisle. And he was doing this. He came forward. He said the prayer. He had no idea what he had done. No idea at all. He was never truly saved because he never understood. Ezra realized it was so important that these people understand so they could be saved, so that they wouldn't fall prey to the same sins that had ensnared their forefathers. They needed to be saved, and they needed to understand the law. In Acts chapter 8, Philip is told to go down to a certain road, Philip the evangelist, and he goes down to this road headed towards Damascus, and he sees an Ethiopian in his chariot, and he runs up to the chariot, and he looks up, and we're told that the Ethiopian was reading Isaiah 53, and Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "No, and how can I, unless someone explains it to me?" And we're told that Philip got into that chariot and explained salvation to this Ethiopian. And what happened? He prayed. He accepted the Lord. He saw some water and he said, "What keeps me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "Nothing. Let's do it." And he was baptized. You see, understanding of the Word of God brings salvation. And without understanding, there cannot be salvation. Understanding of God's word brings sincere worship. In Psalm 47:7, it says, "Sing praises with understanding." You know, if I don't understand a song, I don't sing the words. And there are some songs I have to stop and go, "What in the world does that mean?" And I won't sing it because I don't want to sing something I don't mean. And I don't want to sing something that I really don't want. So I stop. But you know, we're to sing with understanding. We're to be fully engaged when we worship. Years ago, my oldest son was in the back seat. And he loved to sing. From the time he was 2, he would sing at top volume. In fact, one night, we heard, "Oh God, Most High, Almighty King." And I went in there and he's doing this, "The champion of heaven, Lord of..." And he went sound asleep. And every night he would sing himself to sleep. You never saw a kid like this. He was self-cleaning too. He was amazing. He was also hyperactive. But he was amazing. But I remember he was singing, "Marvel not, you must be born again." Top volume. 4 years old. Singing. Really loud. Only he sang it like this. "Marvel not, he must be born again." And finally he stops and he says, "Dad, Mom, who is Marvel not?" "He's got to get born again. Could we just pray for him?" And we explained to him it meant marvel not, but he had no idea what marvel meant, you know. But just that he was singing passionately, preciously, but without any understanding about some guy he never even met. And that's what happens. We can't truly worship unless we have understanding. But you see, understanding shows us what God has done for us. Understanding shows us the greatness of our God. Understanding brings us into the goodness of our God, the promises of our God. You see, worship is meant to be a response and not a performance. It is to be a response from our hearts because of the goodness of God, because we understand it, we get it, not a performance. And we're told that when Ezra opened the book, when the understanding came and the people were there with understanding, that they bowed their heads and they said, amen and amen, and they worshiped. You see, sincere worship comes from an understanding of the greatness and the goodness, the promises and the faithfulness of God. Understanding allows us to give understanding. As we read in verse 8, that those who understood helped those who didn't understand in the reading. You know, we cannot clarify what we don't understand, can we? Have you ever tried to teach something you didn't understand? Let's say your child came home and he wanted, his chapter in science was on piston engines, and he had a test and he said, help me study. That was my experience with the same son about narval knot. Pistons. Now, you know, at these times, Brian was always gone. And I had to explain a piston engine to my 9-year-old hyperactive self-cleaning son. Did I understand it? No. You know what I did? I read that science chapter, that fourth grade science book, over and over again. I prayed for understanding, and once I got it, the cylinder, the piston, the gasoline, the explosion that makes the car go, I could explain it to him in his terms, and he got an A. Didn't miss one on that science test. But you know what? Until I understood it, I could not communicate it to him. Until we understand the word of God, we cannot give understanding to others. We have to understand. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. To be able to give a defense, you have to understand. You need to understand what you believe. You have to know why you believe. There's a great book by a man named Paul Williams, and it says, the book is called Know What You Believe. It's fabulous because it gives you understanding. I am teaching on Thursdays at the Bible College a class called All About Eve. It's 14 studies on Eve because you know what? I find out all my problems go back to that great-great-great-great-grandmother of mine. And I want the girls to see it too. And so I was listening to a tape by A.E. Wildersmith. Actually, what am I talking about? I was listening to MP3 by A.E. Wildersmith. I was living in the olden days of tapes. And on that tape, he was talking about why God chose the side of Abraham Tesla, which has to do with taking part of the rib. And he was going into this thing about how this was like the first cloning. Okay, but this is A.E. Wildersmith, the foremost scientist in the world. And this is after his first brain surgery. He's still smarter than I am, much. And I'm listening to it, and I'm re-listening to it because I want to be able to communicate it to those girls and the glory and the wonder that they were taken from the side of Jesus Christ as the church. And I was praying for understanding because you know what? I know as a teacher, unless I understand it, it's not mine. But the minute I understand it, it's mine. And then I can impart it. Then I can give it away. Then I can make it palatable. So you need understanding in order to impart understanding. Understanding produces the right response, as we see in verse 10. So you see, they had the wrong response. They heard the word of God and went, weep. And they're like, no, this is joy. This is joy, again, not famine, but feast, not limiting, but liberating. But think of those who don't understand the word of God, and therefore they have the wrong response to the word of God. Perhaps you've met them. They look at the word of God as duty, like, oh yeah, I had to read. No, you got to read. You see, when we understand the word of God, it is life imparting. It is our joy. As Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 15, your word was found of me, and it was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You see, that's the right response, but we cannot respond rightly until we understand the word of God. When I lived in England, there was a precious woman. She was Indian, and she had a very strong accent, and she would call me, and I could not understand a word she said. Our conversations went like this. And I'd be like, And if her voice rose, I would go, oh, yes. And if her voice went, I would, oh. Because I was trying to respond the right way. And I remember one time going, oh, no, that was very good. Oh. But the whole reason I wasn't responding rightly is I could not understand what she was saying. You see, it takes understanding to respond. We cannot respond properly to the word of God unless we understand it. In Jeremiah 9:24, God says, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. You see, the Pharisees did not understand the law, that it was for the preservation of men and the protection of men and to prepare men for the Messiah. They thought the law was about performance. And because they saw it as performance rather than preparation, protection, and preservation, they missed the Messiah. We must understand that we might have the right response. They had the wrong response to Jesus because of their misunderstanding. And they made the law a burden rather than a blessing. But Jesus brought true understanding to the law in the way he lived and how he taught. Remember how the people said, he speaks with grace, he speaks with authority. They could understand Jesus. Understanding brings joy. And that's what we see in this passage, that they realized, oh, when we do what the word of God says, we have joy. It says the people went their way in verse 12, rejoicing because they understood. That's what happens when you understand. I have counseled and talked to more people. And when I explain what the scripture says with understanding, you can see the joy come over them. When they come to me and say, you know, I'm just under the burden of sin, and I turn to 1 John 1:9, and I explain the forgiveness that is theirs in Jesus. Or I'll have people come to me and say, I don't know if I'm in Christ. And I open up Colossians chapter 1, and I tell them how they've been qualified, not by who they are, but by Jesus Christ. And the joy comes with the understanding of the word of God brings joy. That's what it does. It brings joy. Years ago, Brian had a surprise party for me. He's had two, and neither one have been successful. One was with people I don't know, seriously. It was all his friends and his family. None of my family. Not even my mom and dad at my own surprise party. And my friends were so upset with him and me because they weren't invited. I was going up to people going, hello, I'm Cheryl. I'm the one the party's for. I haven't met you yet. Don't ask Brian to throw you a party. The other party, everyone dressed like they were out of a retirement home. And I remember coming in, knowing I was having a surprise party, but coming in, because he's not very good at hiding it either, coming in and looking around going, I don't know these people. I don't know these people. Looking around just, what in the world is going on here? And suddenly I looked over and I recognized Gaylord Tohill. He and Marsha had gotten makeup artists to do them. And all of a sudden I began to recognize each person. But you know what? I wasn't getting any joy out of that party with strangers. But when I understood who these people were and the lengths they had gone to make me feel young at 30, I just pray they're there at 50. understanding produces a greater hunger for God's word. You see how the people came the next day? They said, we want more. We want more understanding. As God's word begins to unfold, we begin to crave it, that understanding. As the disciples said in Luke 24, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? When we begin to understand, there is that burning heart effect, and we want more and we crave more. Again, when I was 12 years old, because again, the understanding dawning, I was at the little chapel that was down on Sunflower in Greenville. And I remember sitting there, my dad was going through Matthew chapter 12. And I remember the Bible had always been kind of a duty and not a delight to me until that time. And I remember I had my Good News for Modern Man before my dad didn't like Good News for Modern Man. And I was reading my Good News for Modern Man because that used to be the Bible we gave out free. And all of a sudden I looked down and I understood it. And I began to say to my mom, I understand. This is so cool. And she's like, shh. Like, praise God, but be quiet, you know? But I remember understanding it. The next day, I was going through that whole Good News for Modern Man. I wore that thing out because all of a sudden, I had understanding. And I was so excited, and I had such a hunger for the Word of God. Understanding leads to obedience. Again, it's hard to obey someone or carry out directives when you're not sure what they want. Isn't that the hardest thing when the directives aren't clear? You're like, this, that, what do you want? But you see, they were able to obey and carry out the Feast of Sukkoth the right way as it was done in Joshua's time. Why? Because they understood. Because they understood. You see, if we don't have understanding, we can't obey God. We can't carry it out the way God wants. We'll get it so mixed up, we'll be bringing him burdens instead of blessings. We won't get it, but we need that understanding. Understanding gives way to success. Again, going back to Matthew 13, that seed that went in, and because it was mixed with understanding, there was a harvest 30, 60, 100 fold. As we understand God's word and walk in it, we will grow spiritually and bear fruit. We read that they did it in the prescribed manner, and there was very great gladness. There are 5 points to understanding. I'm going to go through these quickly. First of all, if you want understanding of the Word of God, Luke 24:45, we're told that Jesus opened their understanding. We need to pray for understanding. We're told that Christ is the spirit of prophecy. You see, Jesus brings understanding to the Bible. Without him, there is no understanding. As he said to the Pharisees in John 5:39, you do search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but these are they which testify of me. In Psalm 40, it says, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. You see, you have to put Jesus in this book to understand it. I have a friend who's a Jewish lawyer, and he was telling me that he could not understand the sacrifice of Isaac until after he accepted Jesus Christ. He accepted Jesus Christ. He was going through the book of Romans. He came to Abraham's faith. Chapter 4 of Romans, he stood up, raised his hands, and he began to do this little Jewish dance and said, I get it, I get it, I understand it. I get it. Now I know. He says in rabbinical school, he was taught that God was arbitrary and you couldn't understand and you couldn't really please him. And as he read that, he said, it's Jesus that brings understanding. Jesus brings understanding. We need to pray and ask him to do what he did for his disciples in Luke chapter 24. Lord, give me understanding. Give me this understanding. These people came together that they might understand. We have to seek it. We have to pray for it. Then we're told that the Levites, under the leadership of Ezra, they read distinctly. What does that mean? It meant that they read sizable portions. You know, sometimes we don't understand because we read too much. You know, we just begin to get it and then we go on to another thought. Read as much as you can understand. I like to say this. What was your favorite dish at Thanksgiving? Do you remember any dishes at Thanksgiving? No, because you glutted yourself on everything. You didn't savor anything, did you? You know, like, I think I remember the mashed potatoes. Did that come before or after the Jell-O salad? Because we take so much, there's just too much good stuff. We need to take one thing at a time. I think you ought to have a week of Thanksgiving. The first day is the dressing. The second day is the cranberry sauce. The third day is the pumpkin pie. The fourth day is, you know, the something else. Yes, that. Yam casserole. But we take it all at once and we don't enjoy any of it, really, to the fullest amount. You know what you do, mainly? By Thanksgiving night, you are so sick to your stomach. You're like, why did I eat so much? Why? I never want pumpkin pie again till next year. And we do this every year. But you see, it's the same thing with the Word of God. We need to take sizable portions that we can savor it. The Bible speaks about meditating, and that's an agricultural word. That's a rancher's word. It actually means to chew the cud. It means that you're supposed to, and what a sheep or a cow would do is they would swallow it, and then they would bring it back up and chew to get every bit of nutrition and every bit of flavor out of it. You see, take a portion and meditate on it. Get every bit of flavor and nourishment out of that. Take portions. What I like to do is I like to stick to the continuity. If it's a story and it goes three chapters long, I want to follow the story out. If it's a paragraph that tells a miracle of Jesus, I want to get that much and meditate on it. I read a story together, or I read through the whole story. Another way to have understanding is go to Bible study, where they explain it and they give the explanation and the understanding. Next, we're told that they gave the sense. We need the sense. And what is the sense? That is the context, the occasion that this was written, the culture, perhaps the prevailing attitude. We need to know, plus the sense is, what does it mean? To this end, I like to ask questions. Cheryl, what did you read?
Did I read?
Yes, you did, Cheryl. What did you read? I like to ask myself questions. What did I read? What was the story about? Before I go to bed at night, I like to, because I don't want to get those weird thoughts that happen at night, because you either hear weird sounds that aren't there, or you get these weird thoughts where you're like 22 again and you're thinner than you ever were, and, you know, it's like, I'm not going there. So I ask myself, what did you read today, and what did it mean to you? Ask yourself questions and get understanding. Ask yourself questions. Get help to understand the Bible. The Levites were right there to explain the meaning. Again, go to Bible studies. Go through the scriptures with a Bible teacher. I went through with Chuck Smith. What about you? And I went through with Brian Broderson. Also went through with J. Vernon McGee through the radio with my mom. But you know, we need understanding, and we need help with understanding, don't we? And it's all right to get help. Whenever I was going to do a Bible study, I always would get Dad's tape. We had the whole tape library. I'd go find it, get it, and listen to it so I would have understanding. Get understanding. Attend Bible studies. Listen to Bible studies. I'm hyperactive. I know you couldn't tell. But what I do is I take notes. And I take notes not so I'll read them back, but because in taking notes, I retain it better. And so I take notes just because it keeps my mind occupied and I have to be with the speaker when I take notes. You thought I was spiritual? Sorry. Get a Bible you understand. Maybe some of you just like the King James Bible because you like Shakespeare. You never understood him. You have no idea what the irony is. Get a Bible you understand. Maybe use it with the King James. I love the New King James. It's my very favorite, but I also have an Amplified. I have an NIV, I have a CSV, but the ESV I do like. I love understanding. If I don't understand it, I look it up in another Bible. I keep a Bible next to me when I'm reading so I can get the understanding. Because there's no benefit in just reading to read. The benefit comes from understanding it and taking it in. There are great commentaries you can use. One of my favorite is William MacDonald. It's only about this big. It's the Believer's Bible Commentary. It's fantastic. It just gives incredible understanding. I love Warren Wiersbe. You know, when I say his name, I want to go, oh, I just love the way he writes. I love the way he simplifies. I love the way he imparts understanding. I also love one of our Calvary pastors, David Guzik. He's written some commentaries. They're fabulous. Also, I love the Blue Letter Bible that you can go to now for Google, Blue Letter Bible. And you can go to a passage, you can hit L and list commentaries, you can go to the different, you can hit another one of those little letters, and I always hit the different, no, that's not the one I wanted, because I'm not very good at computer, I don't understand it. But you can get a list of different versions, thank you, it was the V. And you can get the versions, and you can see what it means in the different ones. Read consistently, read consistently. You know, the more you read, the more you'll understand. That's just the way it works. Read the passages again and again. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 12, Matthew 25, 29, Jesus says that to those who understand, more understanding is given. To those who have the word, more of the word is given. But to those who don't have, even what they have will be taken away. You need to read consistently and keep reading the Bible. Hebrews 5:14 says that discernment is given to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good from evil. In other words, as they're consistently in the Word of God and applying the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, they have discernment. Solomon said, get understanding. God wants you to have understanding that you might be able to lead others to salvation, that you might be able to sincerely worship, communicate His Word to others, have the right response, have joy, have obedience, and be fruitful. Get understanding. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your word brings light, it brings understanding, it brings comfort, it brings joy. Lord, we pray that we would be women of understanding, that we would be women that would seek you out to know and to understand your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.